not too many evenings ago, I think it was this past Monday, they built a fire for us out on the beach. Yes, we've had one since then, but it was Monday's fire. And we were sitting around, and I began to speak with one of the young men who had been a counselor and then stayed on to help on the staff. And he was telling me about his church in Fairfax, Virginia. And he said, he gave me his pastor's name. You can hear him on the internet. You can find sermons on YouTube. And one distinctive, he said, is that interspersed in his sermons, he often says, "Hallelujah, what a Savior." You'll hear him saying that. I don't know why, but he just comes out with, "Hallelujah, what a Savior." And that was interesting to me because I had caught myself doing that, several months ago. And it was spontaneous, as I'm sure it is with this man. And I think it came from hearing another preacher not too long ago speak on Isaiah 53. His name is Sinclair Ferguson. And he made Jesus from Isaiah 53. He made Jesus so glorious. I mean, in every way, Jesus was so wonderful in that exposition of that servant song. Isaiah 52, the last three verses, and then the 12 verses of Isaiah 53. And he focused on the middle stanza where the theme or doctrine of substitutionary atonement is prominent, and showed how Jesus died for us. Now that's nothing new, but he just made it live. And every so often he was so taken up with how great and wonderful Jesus and his salvation are that he would say, "Hallelujah, what a Savior," he said. And I've heard him also on other recordings just depicting Christ in such beauty and grace and glory that he would just break out with that, "Hallelujah, what a Savior." And of course we want to see Jesus in that way, that our hearts will just reach out and love him and appreciate him, desire him and magnify him. "Hallelujah, what a Savior." That's my desire, my goal. I remember reading about James Montgomery Boyce. Well, it was in one of his writings. He had been, as a child, a student at the boarding school on Long Island called Stony Brook School. That's a Christian school. And he was, being an illustrious former student, he was invited back there to speak. And when he went into the pulpit, well, he writes, "You see many things in pulpits when you stand behind the pulpit that the people in front of the pulpit do not see. All kinds of things," he said. "Now, if you came up here, this one doesn't look too bad, but you can see all kinds of stuff that's been crowded in on the shelves sometimes." But he mentioned a little sign that only the speaker could see in this pulpit at Stony Brook. And it said this. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. "Sir, we would see Jesus." What a great reminder for a preacher. So I took that and made a sign and stuck it on the lamp. If you stand behind the pulpit at Ridgewood, you'll see, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Now, sometimes if you're there all the time, I guess you can get used to that. It's just there. My father had a sign on the pulpit. I don't know if he was reminding himself or the many other ministers who would come through, but it said, "Some preachers cannot broaden or deepen their sermons, so they lengthen them." And it was right there on the on the pulpit. And I think sometimes we didn't notice that sign. But, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And that's the deepest need of all of us, of speaker and hearers. "Sir, we would see Jesus." I know I have that goal in my heart. When I stand behind that pulpit, it's such a sacred place to me. And maybe two Sunday mornings ago or three, well, I'm telling you a little secret. I'm not saying it to try to make myself look good. But I'm just saying this because this meant so much to me. I think Susan is the only other person I've told this to yet, up till now. But a young man, after meeting, I was still very close to the pulpit. And he came to speak with me, and we were just starting to talk, and he pointed at that sign, and he said, "That's what you just did." And I just prayed, "God, don't let me ever just not see that sign. But help me, help me." So that guy doesn't know what a blessing he was to me. But we want to see Jesus. "Sir, we would see Jesus." That is not my sermon text for today. But that request, which was relayed to Jesus, seemed to, I don't know if this is the right word, excite him. His reactions right then, right, his immediate words after that, he had a reaction, a wonderful response. That was, it must have meant so much to him that there were Greeks that came up to the feast and wanted Jesus, wanted an audience with Jesus. And here we are. I don't know if there are any Greeks here, but I guess there are quite a few Gentiles. And we want to see Jesus, don't we? And so help us, Lord, to turn our eyes upon you. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free.